dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Gracious hello, everybody in SVC land. This is Bruce Knox, along with some people that I will introduce momentarily. And this is Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. It's show 252, our seventh spring show of 2019. And this and all shows brought to us, of course, by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. All kinds of fun under one roof. You can go there at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just back behind the Hampton Inn to the west there. They're open 7 days a week, 11 to 10 p.m. And you'll find Cardo's Pizzas and all kinds of fun that you can have at Triple Crown. You can look up detailed information on Triple Crown at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. We want to remind you that they do have the limousine and the luxury party vans, which you can take advantage of. Just contact them and tell them what you need and what you want and so forth. Triple Crown Family Fun Center. When you think of fun, think Triple Crown. And now I'd like to bring in our two sports gurus of the SVC. First, John Bruce. John, how are we?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I've got to share a little surprise for you later on in the show regarding our last week's show, but we're glad to have you again. And, of course, our senior sports guru, Mr. Shane Combs. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. I actually, as I was putting a little ketchup on some of my food today, I actually thought of you two and made me kind of, you know, look forward to the show just a little bit more.
Just a little bit? Well, yeah. We'll have something to say about that in a little bit. But, guys, this is our final, quote-unquote, regular show of the spring. Next week, of course, I'm sure that everybody has marked on their calendar will be the concluding show of the year. And during that time, we will give out our Sports Zony Awards. I was trying to think of the derivation of that, and then I was describing to my son earlier today what was coming up, and he didn't really like the Sports Zony Award, Shane. So I don't know whether, you know, I don't know whether we get feedback.
Well, but
he's
kind of an SVC outsider. You know,
yes,
I mean,
he is. Good, that's true.
Awfully good young fella there, but yeah, maybe just doesn't quite
get it.
You know, get it.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, that is possible. But I know those are very coveted awards, and I'm sure he just doesn't understand it. And John, you'll be exposed to that. I know you've participated by listening, but next week we'll probably actually seek something from you on those things. So be thinking about that.
Now, do I actually have to refer to it as that name?
Yeah, yeah. What else would you like to call it? You'll come up with something like Sports Papa or something like that.
I don't know. It's so on brand.
Oh, well, that hurts. That was just.
No, I'm just throwing it out there. I probably can't come up with anything better off the top of my head.
Well, I think that's what happened one time. Was we basically talked about it while taping, and it was just something grabbed out of the air, and it stuck a little bit. We threw it up against the wall.
I think we put somewhere between 5 and 10 seconds of thought into it. Just came out.
Yeah.
And
that's usually enough. That is usually enough though. So I approve of it now.
Okay. All right.
You guys put in all that blood, sweat, and tears.
We're glad we've got your stamp of approval. Well, guys, we're going to get into this show. Our first thing is three up, three down. And we basically seek headlines from these two guys. It can be anything and everything is directly or indirectly involving baseball and softball. So that basically, you know, I've read that for like 6 or 7 weeks now, And I think that pretty much covers everything under the sun. Headlines from these guys. But first, I want to remind you that this section of the podcast brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call. It's 740-986-4653. Kevin Schultz and the guys up there will set you right up. They're located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Again, the phone number, 740-986-4653. Get up there and hit the little white ball around. Believe it or not, I think the rain may be moving away for a few days, so you might be able to get out there and not wear your galoshes on the course. We hope so. Thank you very much, Crown Hill, for sponsoring us. Let's go up to three down this week. I think last week I went to Shane first. I'm going to go to John first on the first of the three up, three down. John?
Celebrating a diamond dynasty off Pearson Pike.
Okay.
I did some research earlier today, and I knew it was pretty good since Coach Fred Redmond took over for the softball team up at Westfall since, I believe it was 2011. They've won three district titles, five SBC titles, winning five of the last six. He has a state championship up there. Every year, the Westfall softball team just, they hit. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, they have a really good pitcher. I know the story of Marcy Dutchin that hadn't pitched before this year, and oh, now she's SEC Player of the Year, and as a pitcher, and still as a hitter. So it's just that they just have a great thing going. It seems like probably going to repeat again next year with all they have back, and they're still going in the tournament. They are a one seed. They won another sectional title. It's really impressive. Really, really good softball that they have going up there for the Mustangs. And just really impressive. And I just want to say another congratulations to them on a SEC and sectional championship.
Shane, your first one of three up, three down.
Well, I was going to go with the historical happening. I think what the Paint Valley Lady Bearcats accomplished this week was simply off the charts. I thought Derek Webb's coverage of it, mm-hmm. I think his headline was Down Goes Goliath, and that kind of goes from a little side story. I won't steal his thunder from his article there. You can still go to the Derek Webb page and check that out. But a little pregame motivation from Coach Smith there. But you know, as I've got to know a lot of those Lady Bearcats throughout the year, getting to coach a little bit and some other sports, I just think one of the real underappreciated athletes in our league, John, is Leah McFadden. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a kid that her and some of her fellow seniors have really welcomed some younger kids into the mix in a lot of their sports this year. And you know, in volleyball, it didn't happen in the league much for them, but then they made the magical run there in the tournament a little bit. And then, you know, in basketball, a little bit better in the league, but not as much tournament. And then here in softball, again, a little back and forth in the league. And then they come up on a powerhouse in Portsmouth Clyde. And I think it's important. I know this isn't the SVC, but I think it's important as sports fans, John, to recognize greatness.
Oh, man.
The first time they haven't made the district since 2005, and according to the article, I sat there and read it like 15 times that night to make sure I was reading it correctly. And for the third time in school history, I mean, that's just stupid. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, people don't understand winning a sectional championship's hard. Yeah, it is. It's hard. I mean, it's, you know, it either takes a dominant postseason that sets you up, or excuse me, a dominant regular season that sets you up for an easier sectional, or you know, you got to go in and you got to beat someone in a one and done format. And, you know, so on this particular night from an SBC perspective, we look at it from Paint Valley's perspective. I just think you have to give a shout out to that. That's an unreal what that program has been able to do. And I say that just to highlight even more so how incredible what Paint Valley was able to accomplish was on that particular night. And I mentioned, you know, Leah's a kid, as we said a little bit in our all league discussion last week, because she doesn't pitch, you know, she spent so much of her time in her career maybe getting undervalued. Incredible catcher, dominated the game from her defensive position, 4 for 5 with two doubles and a home run, knocks in three. And I just think what her and some of these seniors have done, I know Savannah Smith, another senior, had a couple hits. She had a home run in the semifinal the other night. I just think what some of the seniors have done to bring along, you know, an Abby Stanforth in the circle, and obviously what Olivia Smith does from the top of the order. Haley Vaughn's a really rising star in our league, a great athlete. Paige Rickey, just on down the line there. There's some kids that have really come on strong, and it's coming together at the right time. Obviously, if you beat a team like that, you just beat a team like Huntington a week or two ago, St. Trace a week or two ago. So this is obviously a team that's very, very capable. And just congrats to Coach Smith and to Coach Stauffer and how hard they work with the girls. And obviously, I'm a little bit biased on this one, but I think, goodness, I don't know. I mean, even if you're not from Paint Valley, if you're an SVC fan, you mm-hmm. recognize how cool that is for our league and how special of an accomplishment that is.
I kind of thought those two headlines would make it into this three up, three down. Mm-hmm. I was guessing. All right, John, number two.
Kind of going back to Westfall. Strong pitching, defense, and offense leads Mustangs to the SEC baseball championship. As we had a very unique season. I cannot recall this league ever being this close with the top four teams. Three teams finishing at 10-4, 1-11-3 in the league. But Westfall, behind Luke Blackburn, man, that dude, I know he had a hiccup against you guys one night, Shane, but man.
He's a talented young man.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Just
absolutely lights out the second half of the year. I believe 6-0. Most of those games in the league. Actually, no, 7-0 with their non-league win yesterday. Just a sophomore. Coach Thomas gets his third SVC championship. First since 2010. And usually, I feel like people usually don't look at Westfall as much with how good they have been over the last 20 years. And then obviously they have had great success in the past also, but Coach Thomas does a great job every year. And I remember when those kids were freshmen. That was my last year up there. The seniors this year were just the guys that are still around, really special kids. And they all seem to have a big game against St. Trace the other night to kind of help elevate them to be SVC champions. So congratulations, Coach Thomas, all the kids up there, the Mustangs. I know the community is really proud of anytime they can get an SEC title. And also kind of a shout out to them too on the next night. Then they go up to West Jefferson and shut them out 3-0. West Jefferson was third in the state last week. So, mm-hmm. They are really setting up for have a chance to make a nice little tournament run. Obviously very difficult district, even sectional to get out of, but still, really special season for the Mustangs.
All right. Shane, you're number two.
Well, I think I'm going to stay in the softball side, and the softball title is going to be Johnny Bruce, this sectional week's for you. I know last week John's glass was half empty there on the softball league. And, mm-hmm. and in all fairness to John, I don't know that I was looking at it much different. Better.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, not just the Paint Valley situation. I think, Huntington kind of coming together. I had a chance to, through some graduation parties, talk to some of the Huntington girls over the weekend. And it was just neat to hear them say, from a player's perspective, it was probably the best game we've played all year in terms of putting it all together and playing together and playing hard and so forth. Referring to their Saturday sectional, or excuse me, Friday night sectional championship win. So, Huntington, kind of gets it done there. And, you've mentioned Westfall earlier, John, and I mentioned Paint Valley. And, I don't know. I think, and obviously Uniota earlier in the week with what they were able to do with the incredible lineup that we highlighted, several of those kids last week, and you know, you just kind of look at what they've been able to do with the pitching of Fisher and Pinkerton, and then Pinkerton anchoring an offense at the top of the order there, where the year Miller's had as a freshman is just unreal. Just looking at some of her numbers this week, and then them obviously getting a kid like Campbell back out and so forth, a Wheeler out. I mean, it just that lineup to me, I know they have a tough draw here coming, but I would think they would be an awfully tough out there. So I think all four teams going to the district level present something unique. I think, you know, Westfall is just elite. I think Paint Valley's riding a high. They become a very dangerous opponent now. Anytime you upset a one seed, you know, John, you're going out into the district playing a team that is good, but not as good as who you just beat. And then, you know, with a kid like Kello at Huntington, and then like we talked about the lineup and some of the different things Uniota has, I just feel like they've maybe gotten through the tougher stretch, if that makes sense, from a mental standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes when you're riding a little bit of the, hey, we're supposed to win, now you kind of get out there, and with the exception of maybe Westfall, maybe the pressure's off a little bit. I don't know if you agree with that, but that's just kind of maybe the way I'm looking at the district week for our SVC kids on the softball side.
Okay. Number three, John.
Well, that kind of covered a lot of mine, but
give it to us anyway.
Yeah, historic upset proves me wrong. And that was, that was part of where I was going was, you know, just, well, we got four teams out. I thought there's a great chance to get two. I thought there's a decent chance to get three, and then kind of down the end of the year, I was like, we're not getting four. And then especially Paint Valley going to Clay, who's just a juggernaut. I kind of could compare them to, I guess, a Dean of Volleyball around here. You know, especially for that 20 years where they were just dominating constantly, and they're still obviously very good. To me, it's unreal how good that program is. At Clay, those kids had won 99 games. The seniors had not won 99 games in high school. So almost 25 a year. Then Paint Valley goes down there and knocks them off. It's really an impressive game. Really fun to follow Derek's tweets about it. I was really impressed. Really proud of, you know, them representing the SEC and the Paint Valley community. I'm completely fine being wrong on this one. Anytime the SEC kids can prove me wrong, then I'm all for it.
Keep that in mind, being wrong. We'll get to that in a second.
Well, I want to say this. I probably wasn't wrong about anything else.
Okay. All right. Shane, number three.
Well, I think I go back to the more the merrier on the Mustang mission. And I think the reason I say that is this Westfall team in baseball, they reached the top of the league in just a little bit of a different way than teams usually do. And what I mean by that is you almost always start right with the lights out pitching and so forth. And John, you highlighted a little bit. Westfall certainly very, very capable on the mound. They certainly pitch well. But I think what is so incredible about this group is the depth in the athleticism and the overall ways they can beat you. I think it starts there at the catcher position with Sponkhead. You talked about him last week. You know, he comes in about halfway through last year and it just completely changed the makeup of their team. That was last year, correct?
Yes.
Halfway through where he had to sit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just changed completely the look of their team. It started to move some athletes around and do some different things. And it really just kind of quarterbacked their defense. I talked about him up the middle. People listen to the show over the last 2 years know what I think of the Williams kid in center field. He's terrific. He really can go get it. And, you know, with Corzat and Belger and Frazier and Mamel and Wyman and I know I'm going to miss kids if I start naming them all, but I think Trevor told me, and John, maybe you know, I think he told me there's like 12 or 13 kids that probably about a half to three quarters of the way through the year had been over 30 plate appearances already. And, you know, he just kind of was able to kind of ride the hot hand. He kind of kept everybody playing, everybody in the mix. And, you know, if he needed someone to bunt, if he needed someone to run, if he needed someone to do things, I made a comment last week that kind of made one track person mad, that I thought West Falls baseball team could finish third in the track league. But I think it's just me talking about the incredible athleticism they have, you know, and the way they can hit the ball in the gap, the way they can take two and three bases at a time on you. And just a lot of high school teams can't do that. So again, Trevor does an outstanding job up there. And John, you're right about the league. This wasn't one of those where, you know, two or three teams just dominated everybody and then the head-to-head decided it. This was one of those 14-game grinds where anybody could beat anybody. Think our league proved that. So to come out one game ahead of the other seven, that in itself is an accomplishment. So congrats to Westfall baseball.
Some pretty good headlines there, gentlemen, on our 3 Up, 3 Down. Again, brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653, or look them up on the web, crownhillgolfclub.com. You know, with next week's show being our annual Sports Zony Awards, as I alluded to earlier, we figured we better clean out the inbox during this week's show. Next, we start by responding to some fan emails. And as we go to the inbox, this section brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming, 740-773-PETS, 740-773-7387. And the resort, if you're into that kind of resort, is 740-773-5267. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff know that each and every animal being treated has a different temperament. And they have likes and dislikes just like people, so their practice is limited to small animals, so they get to know everything about all their patients. They want to know them like family as well as their owners and the way their owners want them treated. That is North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming. Again, 740-773-7387, bringing us this look at the inbox. And as I alluded to earlier, a special email, which was addressed only to me, that came into the inbox, which read, "Bruce, on last week's show, you were right and John was wrong. Signed, SVC fans everywhere." So there you go, John.
I disagree.
You didn't get a copy of that. I wasn't CC'd to you. I don't know what happened.
Oh, it's okay. Hey, I went down and scouted a game yesterday, and I got two hot dogs. And just for you, I did not put ketchup on them.
Well, there you go.
I also didn't put that the terrible yellow thing on there either. But,
the staining substance, you know, as you called it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So.
All right. So seriously, I digress there a little bit for jocularity's sake. We've had 4 or 5 emails and comments about all the coaching changes in basketball. And the best overall question that kind of sums this up for discussion is the following. What do you guys make of all the basketball coaching changes? Is there any particular job, hire, or other headline that jumps out as something significant? And I want to explain, we wanted to clean out the inbox a little bit, so that's why we're mentioning basketball here. But we'll kind of move that into the spring here in just a second with another one. But guys, what do you make of all these basketball changes? And is there anything that really jumps out at you as really significant here?
Well, John, I'll start with one just to open up a little discussion here. I'm amazed with how many talented groups the new coaches are going to inherit. You know what I mean? So many times when you get coaching changes, it's a situation where things are in a complete rebuild or complete change, or people, coach steps away after being at it for so long, or whatever it might be. In this situation, You know, you look at Andrew Day at Edina going into a girls program that really showed signs the last half of the year. That's a young group. It's a really athletic group. You have a couple nice sized guards and Smith and Stark and that's a nice group that's getting better and better. I think both Southeastern situations are really good. Now, obviously, that's a little bit of a move within with looks like Adams going over to the boys' side high schools. But, you know, I think Southeastern boys, I think the groundwork's been done. You know, I mean, a lot of times in coaching, we call them the growing pains. It's, you know, you have to kind of let the young kids go through it. And then, you know, you do that because you want to reap the benefit down the line. So, you know, a lot of that's been done. On the girls' side, when you look at Graves coming in, if Heiss is able to come back healthy and play there, that's a nice thing. So, you know, Piketon boys has nice tradition. They hire a kind of a homegrown, you know, Kyle Miller there in terms of, you know, Westfall. Here's the situation with Westfall. You look at the starting five in a girls program, that might be the second most talented team in the league. So I don't know, John, just that's when I look for headline, I guess that's kind of where I come from. Do you agree with some of that, or is there something else jumping out at you?
No, that really, I mean, that really covers it, because it is a lot of talent returning at those programs. Westfall ended up being really good down the stretch last year.
Yes.
Return easily the sixth person of the year with Marcy Dutchins, since she didn't starting last year. And that's a really good setup to be in, especially when they played some young kids. Piketon, you know, those kids are going to play hard. Especially for someone like Kyle Miller, they do it for the other coaches. So just seeing it, hearing a new voice in there also, who's had some tournament experience also, could send them into, you know, they had some really good young groups, send them to another level. The Southeastern ones, I mean, the only thing I'll say maybe is, the coaching between boys and girls is slightly different, because girls actually listen. like, oh, this is where you're supposed to go on this play. Girls will be like, okay, that's where I'm supposed to go. And boys will be like, it seemed like more of an idea. So that part might be something that Coach Adams will have to adjust to, but being a three-time SBC Coach of the Year, you know, that's something he should be able to adjust. And like you said, the groundwork's been done. I mean, a lot of those kids coming back that are going to play big minutes next year, you know, they took some lumps. And and then, of course, you have one of the better athletes we've had in the SEC in the past 15 years, and Lane Ruby is your point guard. Pretty good thing to return also. So, I think those are some nice situations for those coaches to come into.
Yeah, I agree. I think, Bruce, it's just a unique situation, because usually there's at least one or two situations out there where coaches are leaving because, you know, let's be honest, people have graduated or there's just not anything there. These are some unique situations where coaches get to come in and have a chance for success right off the bat.
Okay. All right. We just wondered if there's anything there, and sounds like there is. And got another question here about coaching changes that moves more into coaching in the spring. It's a question about how coaching changes can impact the entire athletic program. Example is, how can a volleyball coach influence a softball coach or a basketball coach? Talk about the impact on maybe baseball or track coach.
Well, I think this could be – gosh, this could be looked at in probably a half hour segment. Yeah. I guess in the short summary of it, I think that it doesn't have to be a huge impact. I do think there's a couple things that take time to develop. It's kind of like it's just like bringing a young team along. Like if it's a new coaching staff in your athletic program, you know, summer schedule, for example, sharing two sport athletes. Some coaches say, yeah, I'll let them play two. Other coaches will say, No. You know what I mean? Like, I understand I might lose them, but I mean, I want a commitment. You know, a lot of times I'll give you an example. In the girls' side, cheerleading is something that every school deals with. You know, are you going to let your kids cheer and play volleyball? Are you going to let your kids cheer and play basketball? Are you going to let your kids, we've talked about this on past shows. Are you going to let your kids run track and play baseball, track, softball, so forth? So each time there's a coaching change, I think those friendships and those working relationships have to develop. I think there's different discipline philosophies out there. I'm sure John can talk about this, because I would imagine, John, at a bigger school, it's even more so, because you're dealing with even more egos and more personalities and more sets of rules and so forth. So I don't know. Would you agree it's more of a scheduling thing, more of a disciplinary thing? What's the key balance from program to program with coaches, in your opinion?
I think it comes down to scheduling, because, I mean, especially when you have younger kids, because younger kids, if you tell them, okay, well, you got basketball at 10 a.m., you got football at 3 p.m., well, their parents aren't going to be real pumped. They can probably find a way to get them there, but it's so you have to work on scheduling. So if you're going to go football at 3, well, maybe basketball goes at 1, something like that, to where the kid could do two things at once, and that's just a key in communication. You have to be able to communicate, you have to be able to schedule, and that way you can get the most out of the kids and most out of building a program. If you can work together with each other and, you know, be patient, yeah, maybe you're not going to play, have kids do two sports at once, which, you know, it's, I understand. But, you know, you just talk about that before. Maybe you sit down with the kid. Maybe the coaches sit down with the kid and say, hey, if we're going to go, like your example of volleyball cheerleading, all right, when are you guys having cheer practice, or when are you guys having volleyball practice? Then that way we can make this work to where they can get to both. It's just, you have to be open. You have to be accepting to dealing with other people. You can't just be one-track mind if you want to get the most athletes out that you can. Maybe you don't want that, but I would think that even at, you know, a slightly bigger school with the Uniota, well, not really slightly, even at a bigger school, because I know I'll get some crap about saying slightly bigger. Even at a bigger school, you still want to have the most kids out you can, because anytime you have depth or just great participation, usually that helps build the program even more.
Well, the reason I mentioned the bigger school on my end, John, is I'm probably looking at an athletic program. If I remember Jeremy Ward and I being such good friends, and I spent, gosh, probably 6-7 years as junior high athletic director at Paint Valley, and he spent some time there helping in the athletic program at Uniota. In terms of coaching staff and things honored, you're probably almost talking about an athletic program double the size. So I guess my point is this, and tell me if you agree or disagree. I think it starts with a philosophy at the top with your athletic program, because here's why I say that, guys. If let's use the cheerleading, basketball, or cheerleading, volleyball thing, or whatever. If your school stance is, we believe a young lady should have the opportunity to do both of those. Okay, well, that's fine. So that means that when you hire a basketball coach, when you hire a softball coach, when you hire a volleyball coach, when you hire whatever, it's known that this is our philosophy, and we would like for you to go with that. Now, as a school, if you do not have a philosophy, don't you feel like, okay, now you've got to allow the coach to come in and have his or her own philosophy and go with it? So does that make sense? I think sometimes if you don't have something set as an athletic program, well, now all of a sudden you've got to kind of let the baseball and the track coach figure it out, so to speak. And you've almost got to respect, don't you, Bruce? I mean, maybe give us a parent perspective here. Don't you have to kind of respect if one program says yes and one says no?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask, doesn't that direction, I mean, shouldn't that be part of the interview process, and wouldn't it come from the AD? I mean, maybe there is a philosophy, maybe there is a tradition within the school, And wouldn't that be talked about at the time of the interview, I would think.
Well, I would think so. Yeah. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, when I've gone through some interview processes, it has been talked about in the interview. So it is, at some schools it is mentioned, other schools it's not. And usually it's asked by the athletic director.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that and you know, that's not to say that there's other things that a new coach would not be changing about things. I mean, they may have some other things, but I think they probably need to understand when they come in that there are some things that are negotiable, some things that are kind of set in stone, and then there are things that haven't been addressed yet. You and the cheerleading advisor, or you and the volleyball coach, you need to work that out or something like that. Just my opinion.
Well, because sometimes you can talk about, sharing and doing all those things. Sometimes they're simply conflicts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And sometimes the conflicts are really serious. Sometimes it's the one team's in an SVC track meet and the other one's in a sectional championship softball game. You know what I mean? Like there's just no way around that. Like
yeah.
It's just what it is, or sometimes in say our cross country or volleyball, hey, we're in a league, we're in a really key volleyball match here, and then we're over here, we're in the SVC meet or the district meet in cross country. It's hard. So I think there has to be some school guidance there as well, because if it does get into the coaches, I know just at Payne Valley we have 11 varsity sports, and I would imagine Uniota is closer to 13, 14, somewhere in there. I'd have to count them up. But I don't know. It's just an interesting topic. So I thought when I saw the connection to spring, I thought we'd go ahead and get the coaching discussion in there. Like I said, we could go on and on more and more. But I just wanted to throw it out there, because I think it's one of the things that is becoming more and more of a situation at a lot of our area schools.
Okay, this look at the inbox for the last time in 2018-2019, brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic, 740-773-7387. Next, we talk postseason and how spring offers a different perspective in comparison to other tournament runs. And this section of our podcast, again brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, Kevin Schultz and the boys up at Williamsport, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West, 740-986-4653. Look them up for detailed information at crownhillgolfclub.com. We appreciate their sponsorship throughout the years here and so much that they do for the SVC. As we kind of hinted at, Shane, you feel, I think, that spring offers a different perspective in the spring tournament run from other sports. Why don't you kind of talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, I think it does for two or three reasons here, and then I'll be interested to get your guys' take on it. I think one thing that's dynamic is you get to the end of the school year, and I know a lot of area schools are down to about single digit in terms of the countdown to summer break. So you have those distractions. Seniors, when it comes to keeping their focus and keeping their investment this time of year, because again, they're staring, graduation and real world right in the face. And they might, like to play, but they also, are just done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I get it. So that's one. And then the other thing is it's so different from the grind of the regular season. You know, like when you're in football, you play once a week. Well, when you get in the playoffs, you play once a week. You know what I mean? You practice and you play on Friday, maybe Saturday. You know, in basketball, you play a couple times a week. Well, you get to the tournament, you might get a week to prepare. You get to a certain level, you might play two times a week. So you're still getting that very similar practice, similar preparation time as it goes. Where in baseball, you balance the end of the school year, you balance seniors, and you balance a situation where your kids are getting out of all these routines. You're used to playing four or five times. You know, you don't practice real hard sometimes during the regular season because it's hard to do it with your arms and your legs when you're in the middle of a, mm-hmm. say, a four or five game week. So now all of a sudden you get to the tournament. You know, let's say you're 25, 26, or all 27 games in. You can't play anymore unless you saved a scrimmage or something like that. But I guess my point is now all of a sudden you're sitting around and you're trying to practice maybe 5-6 days just to get ready for a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some value to that, but there's also some tough adjustment to that in terms of, you know, keeping kids focused, keeping kids their timing right at the plate and keeping pitchers from the rest versus rust, you know, discussion in terms of keeping them sharp. So I guess that's where I come from on this time of year being a little different. Same way, you know, for track, they kind of go all year and they're trying to go. We had some incredible performances there at the track meet. You know, from individuals,
mm-hmm.
as well as obviously the Uniota teams. Congratulations to them in terms of just their pure depth of domination. But it's just interesting to see how they'll start to gear it up now, and they'll go a couple times a week, and they're looking to advance on down the line. So to me, those are some of the things that make spring unique.
Well, you got you mentioned, you know, a couple things there. What about things like, you know, you've got prom that really affects things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like you, Shane, I think that seniors are kind of done, you know, they're looking everything else in the face. John, in listening to Shane's differences, what are things that you agree with there? Do you disagree with anything he said, or you have anything else to add?
Well, I just think, you know, baseball is always a different animal too, because with the fact that you have one pitcher or you don't have one pitcher, you don't have the same team every week.
Yeah. Shane kind of alluded to that last week when he was talking about the difference of baseball versus, you know, basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it is a big difference between the two. And it makes it, you know, softball, you tend to have one pitcher, sometimes more, but, usually you just go with the hot hand. I guess it's the kind of like the playoff goalie way of thinking in hockey is, well, you just go with the one that's going well. But it's – I just remember that I talked to Trevor Thomas last night. We talked about some different things, and I asked him, you know, when's your next game? Because, you know, Uniota, we play all Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play until Saturday. So – like, you know, we were a team that at the end kind of stumbled a little bit, so we probably needed a little more time to practice, but we're right into it. Well, Division III, is it Wednesday, Saturday, Shane?
Yeah, we play Wednesday, and it's looking like, you know, rain, which pushes it to Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it, and then you also have that. You don't know when you're going to play necessarily for your tournament games. So you get all, like, my senior year, my last day, a lot of people went, and there's this old swimming hole people went and all this, and I went, I'm not going to that because we got a game. And then get ready to get on the bus, and oh no, we don't have a game. When I was a sophomore, we went to Wellston 5 days in 1 week, and we didn't play.
Wow.
We just never played. Because
of rainouts and so forth?
Yeah, because of rainouts, and they would try to get ready to play, and the umpires would come and just go, oh, this, we're not playing tonight.
Jeez.
This isn't playable. So, I mean, you have – it just makes things really difficult with the weather. You know, obviously next week whenever it gets to games are going to be out at the VA, you know, more than likely weather won't.
Mm-hmm.
Really affect things, but at the same time you still have to get the games in before then. Now with Division II being down at Athens and they have the turf, you're going to be able to play down there too, but it's just it's so different because you have to mentally prepare different ways. You could have someone come in and pitch to try to keep the timing up. I guess if you have a long break, you could even have your kids kind of throw a bullpen, live pitching to kids. There's different things you can do, but nothing truly simulates an actual game besides, you know, playing a game. So if you use all your games and scrimmages, then it's really difficult to stay game ready. But, you know, it's any given day in the tournament. So it's still a really exciting time of the year, but it is big time difference.
One thing that's hard on the scheduling too, real quick. I'll take Coach Veit from White Oak and myself. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the one game we've been trying to get in for like a month and a half now, where we're at 26 games. That was the one game we didn't get to play. And he and I have tried different things. And then, you know, the scheduling debacle we talked about from the league there, where the Monday, Tuesday night thing there a while back, that cost another chance to play. And then we are still even looking this week to play. But here's the problem, John. You mentioned, you know, Division II plays Monday night. Yep. Well, Division IV, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have that in front of me, Tuesday night. Division III, Wednesday night. Or does Division IV play Thursday? Do you know?
I would guess they play Tuesday, Friday, because Division II's Monday, Thursday.
Okay. So my point is, what happens is different people are looking at it different ways. Yeah. A lot of times you don't want to go on the road the night before if you're going to play your sectional final, say, mm-hmm. at 11 o'clock the next morning if you were to advance. Like you mentioned, like, you know, Westville had a bye. They're going to be looking to play throughout the week. What's going to be hard for them to find a like opponent because, you know, everyone's going to be in their various tournament games or tournament matchups. So it's really, really tricky in terms of scheduling here. You know, we've been very fortunate at Payne Valley because we're at 26 games now, so we're one shy of playing the max. But I noticed when I looked at the SVC standings that there's still some teams that have the opportunity to play this week if they're able to.
It is different. You certainly do make a good point, though. Just comparing it, you know, basketball tournaments pretty much set in stone. You know when you're going to play. I guess there have been weather delays and so forth, but you still run that chance. But it just seems like there's so much other stuff going on, and the end of school for everybody.
Yes.
I think everybody feels the end of school coming at them, so they approach things differently.
I'll even throw out some of the coaches that are teachers too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you got to finalize a lot of grades. You got to do end of school finals, maybe grading a lot of extra stuff. So there's even more stuff on top of, you know, yeah, you get some months off, but that means you got to finish everything before then. So that's coming up with the tournaments also. So that's slightly unique as well.
Very unique. Very unique. All right, guys, in our final segment, we fill in the blank for our Coach's Corner for the final time here in 2019. Our final Coach's Corner of the year brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming, 740-773-PETS or 740-773-7387. Dr. Blake Lloyd and the gang out there at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe, where they care, open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. The resort, the Doggy Daycare, open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Again, because of the Sports Zony Awards next week, just sapping us of our all strength and ability to talk and do anything else, we won't have our normal segment. So this is it, guys. This is the shooting match here. Fill in this blank. When I was a younger spring coach, I wish someone would have told me blank. So, John, for the final time in 2019, when John was a younger spring coach, John wishes somebody would have told him what?
To thank everyone at all times. Man, I've used this to be thankful.
I was gonna say,
throughout.
I've heard this before. Yeah. Go ahead.
Like we get our bus drivers come, you know, early. our athletic director, Mr. Mike White, wants us to get to games as early as possible. And sometimes the bus times are really early. So sometimes I'll just kind of hang around and we'll take a little while. We'll get some extra swings in and everything, but they're really patient. We went down to Wellston last week, and the week before we had to Logan and had the same driver both days, and I may have spilled a drink on the bus both times. The second time was much better.
Merry Christmas.
But it's just you know, being more patient. It's not, they don't necessarily have to let people drink drinks, and they don't necessarily have to let me do it again. So being thankful to them just for taking the time. Yeah, they're getting paid for it, but still, make sure you thank them. If you have grounds crew people, if you have people mowing your grass for you, while you're teaching, make sure you thank them. If you have a scorekeeper, make sure you thank them. People running your concession stands, make sure you thank them.
PA announcer.
PA, I guess. PA announcer, scoreboard operators. People aren't getting paid for this stuff. At most places, places I've been, they aren't.
I think there's seven other SVC schools trying to figure out how Uniota's getting early bus times, because usually it's the other way around. Like, hey, can we leave by 4 o'clock today for the 5 o'clock start?
Yeah, sorry. It's weird because we have a lot of farmland, but it's not a gigantic district. So I think that kind of tends to help on that. And then thank your athletic director for thinking, okay, well, we got to get you bus times. I get emails every week from them saying, hey, here's when your buses are leaving, and it tells me when the other buses are leaving too. So, I always let them know I appreciate them. Maybe I don't agree with the umpires most of the time, but I always make sure to thank them, because that is a thankless job.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you get to coach. Also, thank the kids. I mean, thank the parents. It's something you get to do extra. And as someone who's gone through a lot of stuff the last couple of years, if you followed me on social media the last few years, you probably would know, but like, this is so much fun to me. And then doing this show, so thank you guys for letting me do this on here. It's a nice break. You get to enjoy it. I hope people remember that. Especially when we come to the end of the year, and I'm sure it's like, oh, they only won 25 games, so let's get a new coach in there or whatever, because God knows why some people want to just constantly change things and whatnot. But it's like, man, it's extra, something extra the kids get to do, something extra we get to do. And it's just really fun and really enjoyable. So I always make sure to reach out and thank anybody I can, to show them I appreciate them. You mentioned it before, like thanking your spouse, just for what they do. For years, I mean, this is on Mother's Day. For years, my mom, like the year I coached at Wilmington, my mom drove to Wilmington and kept my book for like 8 games. That was insane, because that's not a short trip.
Yeah.
It's something to be thankful for. And as we're coming down on the end of this school year and the season on the show, it's just really thankful for a lot of stuff. And just wanted to make sure young coaches know to be thankful.
Mm-hmm. We are thankful for you, John, but I will say that you are not eligible for a Sports Zone Award because you are on staff, so you can't be going for that.
Can I get some ketchup at least?
We'll see.
Okay,
Shane,
I'll take it.
Okay, Shane, how would you complete this sentence? When I was a younger spring coach, I wish someone would have told me blank.
I wish someone would have told me that making tough decisions will never get easy. I think what happens is when you're a young coach, you think to yourself, hey, I'm going to go in, I'm going to coach it up. I'm going to game plan. I'm going to teach them this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to have rules. We're going to do this. And kids are just going to do everything. And they're going to come. They're always going to be at practice. They're always going to let you know in the perfect way when they're not, or they're going to follow every rule. They're never going to get in trouble at school. You have this plan in mind. And then the longer you coach, you start to realize that, man, kids are going to mess up. And it's hard, and I think we all look back when we were 15, 16, 17, 18 years old and wish, man, I wish I'd have done a couple things a little bit different. So it doesn't make them bad kids. It just means that, you know, sometimes they mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, as a coach, you know, it's your job to make, you know, tough decisions. It's your job sometimes to give tough love. It's your job sometimes to, you've got a group of kids looking at you, to be consistent and to be fair, you know, one, to be fair to, you know, what you stand for, but one, to also be fair for what a team's trying to accomplish and so forth. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we're educators first. We have to put that first and put winning second. Well, if you think about it, if you're 5-6 other seniors looking at a coach to make a decision, you know, is there a part of them sometimes that wants you to look the other way? Does that make sense? Like, sure. Yeah, coach, we want to win, you know, but I think that the advice I would give to a young coach is, no matter how much you'll wrestle it, no matter how competitive you are, stay true to who you are, what you believe in. And at the end of the day, try not to be hypocritical from situation to situation. Try to just be consistent. But I think it's important for young coaches to know that it's never going to get easier to make tough decisions. And that's why, you know, as a head coach, you're a leader, and it's your job to do those things. So I just think that's something that no matter what sport it is, but especially, you know, as we talked about, for some reason, you know, when I've coached over the years, I'm going to be honest, I seem to run into far, far more of them in the spring sport than I do some of the other sports. And I think it's for some of the reasons we've highlighted. So I think that's very fitting here to on our last segment.
All right. From the thankful to the reflective, our gentlemen, our gurus have completed their last Coach's Corner here on SVC Sports Talk. If you have anything that you would like to contribute, anything you'd like to comment on, anything you'd like to input, maybe for a future show, you may do so by contacting either of these two gentlemen. You can reach out to Shane at his email, admin1@svcsportszone.com. You can also reach him on Twitter, where his handle is @svcsportszone. He maintains two profiles on Facebook, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and svcsportszone.com. John has an email address of jbruce1018@yahoo.com. And he on Twitter, of course, the infamous, if nothing else, Coconut Wall Papa. And when these two do contribute to Twitter, the Twitter sphere, as it were, they use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. And, of course, Derek Webb, he has the verified account of @DW1509, and his email address, DerekW1509@gmail.com. So we so much appreciate you being along for the ride here on episode number 252, Shane.
Well, I tell you, it is a lot of fun. Next week, we will be going into our sports zonies, as we've said before. But before we get out of here, I want to just give a shout out to our track kids. We did mention earlier Uniota with the sweep. We had the Ruby headline with the record-setting performance. We have all those results up on the page. Check out all the individual champions who will get honored at the SVC banquet. And best of luck to those kids as they go into their district action. Again, if you're not familiar, track does not have a sectional round. They go straight to the district. So if you're qualifying out of the district, you're in the regionals already. So exciting time for them as well. And looking to next week, I haven't said it 100% in terms of what's going to make the final cut, but looking at Some record-breaking performances, looking at some game of the year candidates, looking at our normal male, female athlete of the year. Those are some of the different ones. Even had some good discussion with some maybe one or two new particular categories this year, Bruce. So looking forward to doing that next week. And usually what happens, in all seriousness, is by the time we go through all the categories, it's a way to really remember some of the great performances from our young people throughout the year, or some team accomplishments, or some different things there. So it really is a great celebration of sorts of the SVC sports year. So look forward to doing that next time. So until that next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes in at DBK Media Services, and for John Bruce, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.